You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 77 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Monday, June 22nd, 2009. This is a special edition of the Wells Tech Podcast, and as usual, with me, Sally Draper.
Good morning, Martin. I'm looking forward to something brand new on Wells Tech this morning.
A little BWTG, which stands for?
Bonus Wells Tech Goodness, which is a fancy acronym. You know, all our techie listeners must love those acronyms, and we thought we'd add one to the list.
So all of you listeners that have us on iTunes or some other feed reader where you automatically download this to your local MP3 player, and you notice that we have one on Monday, we decided a while back that we would do a little bit something special this summer, about a 10 to 15 minute episode about something very practical, step-by-step walkthrough of some things that we think you might find beneficial.
That's right. Obviously, keeping the focus on technology and ministry, we want to give you some how-to steps to actually get some things done, maybe in your church office or on your church or school website, that kind of thing. So hopefully you find these useful, and we'd love to hear topics that you'd like to hear covered on BWTG.
BWTG. I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, Sally and I were reading a blog post about how to conduct a successful podcast that people get hooked on, attracted to, find useful. And one of the tips there was provide something very practical, very pragmatic. So this is not that I think our regular podcast doesn't do this, but this kind of takes it to a little bit different level. We will actually post step-by-step instructions, and we'll talk through, at least on a fairly high level, those instructions so that you've got, so you can dive right in once you're done listening to the podcast.
Right. I'm thinking that this would be twofold for our listening audience. Hopefully, we'll cover some topics that they can actually learn something from themselves. But being techies already, they may also want to use the information and share it with others. Mm-hmm. So feel free to repurpose it for your congregation or school needs. I know many are in that tech support role, and right, this might be something easy, digestible, that you can share with others that might not be so tech savvy.
Exactly. And for our first topic, we thought that talking calendars, even though that sounds, you know, a little droll, that is probably the number one feature that our members come to our websites for.
That's right, and we have a great solution for you that we wanted to share today. It's Google Calendars, and we actually use it here at St. John's and Sleepy Eyes, so I'm coming to you with some practical experience here, and that Google Calendars allow you to not only create calendars online, but share them among your staff so that multiple people can collaborate on the calendar updates, and also embed them on your own website so you don't have to send people to the Google website to find your church or school calendars. So lots of real practical uses for it in a church and school setting.
Absolutely. And you can get to it at calendar.google.com. All you need is a Google account. So let's walk everybody through the steps necessary to get this done if they'd like to use this in their church or school.
Sure. Once you have a Google account, which if you have a Google account for anything, you have a Google calendar along for the ride. So if you don't have a Google account, go ahead and set one up. You'll see links there to the calendar features. And it's very easy and intuitive to navigate and to enter calendar events. There's a small calendar on the left side, which allows you to basically jump to any day, month, wherever in your calendar. And there's also tabs along the top that give you different views of your calendar. So you can look at a week at a time or a month at a time or even a single day at a time. And one of my favorite views is called Agenda, which is kind of a text version of the calendar. So you can just look at a list of things that are upcoming on the calendar. And also, as you're creating calendars, you can create multiple calendars to segment the different information that you need to store. For instance, you can have a calendar for your church and a separate calendar for your school, maybe even a separate one for your sports events and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Very simple to do to have these multiple calendars, and lots of practical reasons why you might want to do that.
It works really well. We don't use it at our congregation, although I think we probably should. But I do use it at home, and all family members, all five family members, have their own Google Calendar, and you can, and you're going to talk about this in the next step, share them so that when I see a view, I can show everybody's calendar all on one calendar, and they overlay each other so we can see intersections and where there's scheduling conflicts, and they can all be in different colors. And it's just a real easy view of exactly the information that I want to see. And I would assume if a congregation wanted to do this, they could allow that to happen as well, where if a congregation member came in and said, well, I don't need to see the school stuff, I just want to see the church stuff, or vice versa, they could easily do that.
Right. It's just a one-click thing. We use it in our family as well. We even have the Google Calendar coming up on our geeked-out Draper Kitchen laptop that's under the counter in there. And then also, kind of another offshoot, our music teachers use it to put their lesson scheduling online. So then we're able to link to bring in our music teacher's calendar and be able to see right there on the calendar when our lessons are scheduled and that kind of thing. So, you know, there's multiple layers to it, and certainly with that ability to have multiple calendars and easily turn them on and off, it gives it a lot of power.
So how easy is it to share, Sally?
Oh, sharing is super easy. There's actually a link associated with each individual calendar to share the calendar. And to do that, you want to just type in an email address that you want to share with. So say, Martin, if you and I were on the same church staff and we wanted to share the calendar, I'd basically invite you or share the calendar with you by typing in your email address. And if you have a Google Calendar account already, it'll basically show up to you, kind of notify you, hey, you've got a new calendar that you can view. And if you don't have one, Google's nice enough to send out a friendly email inviting you to create a Google Calendar account so that you can see the shared view. And when you share, you can actually extend edit privileges to the person that you're sharing with. So you can make them a viewer of the calendar or an editor of the calendar or a super user on the calendar where they can manage and invite others to join as well. So lots of different flavors to the sharing, but it's all really straightforward. And then finally on that share tab, you'll also want to enable it for public viewing so that anyone can view the calendar. And there's an option there that's real easy to check as well.
Sweet. But if somebody doesn't feel comfortable sending people to Google to look at the calendar, there's an easy way to do that right within your own website, I would think, through embed code?
That's right. It's really simple on the Google Calendar. There's a link there for embedding, and you can customize what you want your calendar to look like on your own website and kind of play with the features online. So you can decide if you want them to have different views of your calendar, which calendars you want to include, even what color scheme to include and how wide you want the calendar to be on your website. Once you've made all those tweaks, Google generates some HTML embed code, which you're going to want to paste into your website. Now, that side of it can vary with different website content management solutions, but basically it's HTML code, so you want to go to the source code view of your site and paste that in where you want the calendar to display, and boom, you've got a Google Calendar on your website. And as people make updates to the calendar, it flows through real time to your website so that anyone visiting your site sees the up-to-date calendar at all times.
It looks really nicely integrated as you can do the tweaking necessary. It doesn't look like something that's stuck in there. And embed code is very popular these days. It's what YouTube and those kinds of services use to allow you to bring in stuff from the outside into your own web experience to make it look very integrated. So very easy to do, but as Sally mentioned, you have to check with your provider and see if they allow that or how that's done. Typically, they do allow it, but it's done a little bit different way in each instance. So if somebody wanted to learn more about this and get to the all the links that we talked about and the step-by-steps that we just went through, how would they do that, Sally?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. We've got a brand-new section on our Wells Tech Wiki site. You can get to our Wells Tech Wiki at wellstechwiki.wells.net, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And basically, there's a page dedicated now to bonus Wells Tech goodness about Google Calendar, and we've written out step-by-step instructions. And not only that, I'm really excited to say that we're taking our podcast to a new level because we have video tutorials that demonstrate each of the steps as well. So in probably about 12 minutes of viewing time, you can watch us create from scratch a brand new Google Calendar, share it with others, and embed it in our own website. So pretty simple to get started, and all of the tutorial information is there for you to make use of.
Very nice. So that will wrap our first BWTG episode. We would love to hear your thoughts on its practicality, if it was beneficial to you, and certainly if you have other topics for us to consider. We're going to attempt to do this once a week. That's our prayer at this point, and we'll see how that works with the summer that we have lined up here. But, you know, we've got a number of topics, and if you have something that you'd love to understand a little bit more or love to see a step-by-step for, let us know. We would appreciate hearing from you at wellstech@wells.net or go to the website wellstech.wells.net. That's it, Sally. Anything else?
No, I think that's a great start for us, and I'm excited to see where our BWTG goes this summer.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember, our regular show will be released on Wednesday as usual. See you then.